That, do you have any Bibles with you? Do you have them out? Yeah, get them out. I know. You love the big screen. I do too. I even have one there. I got one there. I can do it. But I love to have the Word of God in your hands or your tablet or your device or whatever else you might have. We do all those good things today. So open it up. And Father, now as we open your Word, thank you for all these things. Lord, as we sang the songs of worship and praise, as I pray that our hearts were lifted up along with our voices, as we heard announcements of the things to come, we pray for all those items, Lord, that we heard about, your blessing upon them, our availability, your work through them too. Lord, let your church continue on in the work of bringing forth the gospel of salvation. Father, as we settle our hearts now, as we think of those that are not with us today, for whatever reason, we settle our hearts now before you. Lord, there's a lot of activity all the time. And Lord, we have to do it. There's things we have to do. But let us remember not to get so caught up in the activity that we forget to spend the time at your feet. Mary chose the better thing, because she took time away from the busyness to come and sit at your feet to listen to your words. That's what we do now. So, Father, help us to settle our hearts before you. Give us ears to hear. Lord, help us by your Holy Spirit to understand. And I pray that our hearts would be open to receive the implanting of your word, that it would bear wonderful, glorious fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. So, last week, right? Remember the message? It was kind of an overview of Isaiah, because that's where our reading is, was. We're in a different book now, but our reading was from, our message was from like an overview from the book of Isaiah, and with the emphasis on the message of, send me, And I want to talk about this week those who don't initially respond like Isaiah did and say, send me. See, the truth is, in the church age, those of us who are Christians, and we talked about this last week, have already been given a commission to go. It's not something that we have to wait for. Yes, we should pray for the specifics of it. Lord, open doors for opportunities and whatever it happens to be. But we already have the commission to go. go ye. But many times when we hear that, or in the same way that Isaiah heard the words, who will go for us? And he immediately, after seeing the glorious vision, right, of the heavenly throne, he said, send me, send me, send me, I'll go. Many times when we see that and we hear and know the call, and the call comes forth to us, who will go for us? We say, send Jim Ammerman. He likes to talk to people. Send Jack Dubs. He knows the Bible really well. Send him. Yeah. We say, send somebody else. Don't send me. Don't send me. Send somebody else. True? For many of us, send somebody else, Lord. Now, we have that general call to go into the world, living first the gospel and then using words, as it's been said, if necessary. But we have that general call, and in that there's always the nuances of the message and how that message goes out and what the Lord might direct us to say and bring words to people, specific words to people. And sometimes the words that we speak to people, even in the gospel itself, many will find offensive. And sometimes the Lord will have us to speak things to people that are hard to hear. Imagine if your message was something of the theme, since we're coming up on the 250th anniversary of the country. Imagine if your message and your theme was to talk against the United States. And not just a political party or a particular group, but to talk about the foundations and the core and the constitution and how we see today that how it filters out and saying how all these things have become an offense even to God. Just say that is what the God put on your heart, you know? And it's not your opinion. It's not because of who happens to be in office at the time. But the Lord is beginning to reveal to you and show you the evils of a nation. How about you begin to speak that way and you are subject to all types of persecution and possibly even maybe arrest? They are slandering you online. They're talking about you. And as that goes on in your life, you don't only refuse to stop, but you double down and speak even more vociferously about what you know God has put upon your heart. And again, I'm just kind of just talking in generalities here. I'm not talking something specific. But if you have a situation like that where it's not just your opinion, but you know that God has given you a word to speak, as unpopular as that word might be, we have the obligation to speak what God would have us to say. And imagine, though, when you're speaking that, of course, you're an unpopular person, but nobody's listening to you. Nobody cares. They just keep going on. And beside persecuting you and doing all kind of slanderous things against you, then they isolate you, and now you're abandoned, you're alone. And even in the ministry that God has given you, he's even made it clear to you that you were not even to, say, even get married or have partners, you know, like, I don't mean partners in that sense. I mean partners like people come along you in the ministry. You're all alone. It's just you. You don't even have a wife or a husband. It's just you. And when you want to quit because you say, this is too much for me, the Holy Spirit continues even more to burden you with, you have to bring this message. See, this is what Jeremiah was facing. He had to tell his own countrymen that our country stinks. It's evil. It's rotten to the core. Judgment is coming. It's not going to be pretty. And the more they harassed him, the more they arrested him, the more they put him in pits of slime, the more he spoke out, the more he continued on, all alone. And every time he tried to stop, it says in his own words that the words were like, you know, fire in his bones, you know. And in all of this, Jeremiah, like you would be, was not a person who was just someone who was dissatisfied with, you know, say, the country or dissatisfied with the state of affairs. He deeply loved his country. You deeply love your country. You deeply love your neighbors and your friends, but yet you still have this message. You need them to see what God is showing you so that they would turn from their way. I mean, Jeremiah had it tough. You know, all the prophets had it tough. Robert mentioned Ezekiel and Isaiah, and then we just read through, and, you know, Isaiah, he had it tough too, but Isaiah had at least the privilege in his writings of so many wonderful prophecies of the Messiah, the glorious Messiah, and had that opportunity to see the Lord high and lifted up. But Jeremiah, from a young age when he was called, God told him, nobody's going to listen to you. They're not going to listen to you. But you got to go. And he endured about 40-some years, I believe, of ministry, of service, of prophesying, with all types of persecution and all types of hardships and all types of loneliness and isolation, and he did so without ever quitting. He lived in the last days of a decaying nation. He was the last prophet to the southern kingdom of Judah after the northern kingdoms were already taken away in judgment. He was the last one. He was there through the reign of the final and last king before the Babylonians came in and took them away. He even lived through a time where they had a little bit of a revival under Josiah, and that revival, while it was nice, it was really short-lived, but it was really kind of superficial. If you, I'm sure you've read in the Word of God, to the point where the prophet, was told, that the people would only, follow Josiah because they like you. They're not really following God, but they're reforming because they kind of like what you're doing and the way you implemented these things. And it wasn't really deep down in their hearts. He lived through all of this, through those 40 years. He was called to a ministry of failure, at least from human eyes. But he was able to go on. Why? He was able to go on and accomplish what God purposed him to accomplish. There's a couple things. One is the message itself. In the message itself, that message contained wonderful words within it of judgment, and I say wonderful, meaning amazing from the standpoint of the scope and the breadth of God's judgment. Things that were hard for the people even to imagine, and they shut it down. But it also within it contained words of hope. Jeremiah's message was to remind the people that they were in error; they were far from God. And they needed to hear and heed the words that he was speaking and to turn from their way and to turn back to him. But they didn't pay attention. See, Jeremiah went to a people who, for the most part, were just doing their thing and running headlong down the road and not recognizing that they're ready to drive off a cliff. It's not much different today. We're sent to a people that, for the most part, are just happy to do their own thing. Leave me alone. Let me do it. I hear all types of statistics. I'm sure you do too. But the statistics today that talk about people in this country who have a biblical worldview, or who at least attend services on Sunday regularly, are at an all-time historic low. And I don't want to quote specific numbers because you see the ranges, but there's some ranges, in the dismal teens to some as low as 6%, And for the most part, you talk to people and everything's good. Now, there's problems, but we're kind of like, we're just doing it. We're going ahead. We're going forward. And you say to people, but listen, there's some things that we need to think about. And there's some things in your life that you need to look at. And then, no, I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. Jeremiah said the judgment is coming. No, it'll never come. But he had the courage to go forth. He had the courage to bring forth the word of God. Because in the message of judgment, there's also a message of restoration and a message of hope. God began to give Jeremiah, in his prophecies, the words that told him, yes, there is judgment coming, but yet, even when it seems to be all gone, when the judgment has seemingly wiped out all the people, there will be a restoration. There will be a regathering. He looks forward even to the days of the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is still to be in the future. But I want to read some verses in the kind of middle of this wonderful book of Jeremiah, and you will be reading it shortly. And this was given to Jeremiah, I believe, as I recall, he was in a slime pit. He was in a pit. I mean, we talk many times, oh, I'm in a pit. This guy was literally in a pit. So not only was he figuratively down in the slime pit, he was literally down in the slime pit. And he begins to bring these beautiful words in his message. In the middle of the message of judgment, in the middle of message of destruction and all these different things. In fact, these words are so beautiful that we read these words in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews chapter 8, and we even see the Lord Jesus Christ in his way refer to this when he said that this covenant that's going to be referred to, I'm going to read in a moment, is in his blood. He says in Jeremiah 31, this is the words that he receives. Behold, beginning at the verse 31, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. So in the midst of all the message of judgment, there is a message of hope, a message of a future restoration. It's a message that itself gave Jeremiah the courage to continue to speak, because he realized that at some point, all of the doom and gloom and all the judgment that was well deserved, that was going to come upon the people, that eventually there would be hope, restoration. There would be a future. You know, at one point in Jeremiah's ministry, God says, directs him to do something kind of interesting. He tells him in that very popular, famous chapter, chapter 18, he says, you know, go down to the potter's house. Go. Just go and watch. And he goes and he obeys the Lord, and he goes down and he watches the potter at work making different vessels. And he's watching those skillful hands. And he gets to the point where, as he's watching this potter and his wonderful work, that the particular vessel that he was making in the potter's hand, it was messed up a little bit. He made a mistake. But God was using this as a message to Jeremiah. See, the vessel was marred in the potter's hands, but the potter didn't throw it away. He took that same clay, and instead of discarding the whole thing, he pushed down on it and he put it back into a lump. And then he reshaped that same lump of clay a second time into a vessel that was a beautiful vessel. As Jeremiah would understand, as we understand, God was showing him that, listen, the people are a marred people. It wasn't God's fault. It wasn't God's mistake. But in God's hand, giving them all the beautiful things that he put together for them in the way that he is the skillful potter to create a beautiful vessel, they were marred. Their own sin marred them. They became a vessel that was broken, a vessel that was becoming completely useless. They had forgotten what their call was, to be a nation that was supposed to show forth God's mercy and love and his goodness and his grace and all these different things. And they had gotten to a point where they were everything but that. But God was not going to discard them. He was not going to throw them away. See, we have that same message that we bring into the lives of broken vessels. Jeremiah was calling to a whole group of people, to a whole nation, but we are sent to individuals that are all broken. Several years ago, it's been a number of years now, when we had just begun the Philadelphia Access Center ministry, that the Lord sent us a wonderful woman who now is in the retired mission field that we still support in Florida, because she's still doing missionary work, though it's here in the States. And her name was Lois Seminician. And Lois was a wonderful, is still a wonderful Christian woman. And she came to us as she was a social worker in Philadelphia. And she was raised by missionary parents and always had the desire to go into the mission field. But when I met her, she was in her, I guess, her 50s or so. She had never got that call yet to go, but it was always on her heart. But when she came to us and the Lord blessed us with her, she began to show us so many things from her years as a social worker of the brokenness that is in people's lives and how it never always seems apparent when you're talking to them. But when you begin to like peel back a little bit of the layers, you see the brokenness. And I, you know, understood that to a degree when she was telling me and telling us. But as we began to minister to so many people and began to do what the Access Center's original call and still is, to walk alongside people, but in that walking, you begin to peel back the layers of things that are in their life. So, you know, the need that they sometimes come for isn't really the real need that they really have. But as you begin to peel back, you begin to see the pain, the hurt, the brokenness. But it was never more apparent to me as to when we had a conference, and it was domestic violence and sexual abuse. And we held the conference, I think, in the church building, and we had a really good attendance, and we had people from all different things come and speak to people that were going through this, with the different services out there, you know, Christian services and so forth. And it was really a good conference. But then when it was over, they asked people who had attended if they wanted to have more and to know more and to learn more and to have support groups and things like that. And you should have seen the overwhelming responses to people that had come there even themselves, not just to attend because they realized, you know, the brokenness, or through that they realized the brokenness in their own life. It was amazing, the depth. Many people from our own church that I'd known a long time began to then reveal and talk to me and others about things that they had buried for years, of things that had happened during their, you know, upbringing that they just pushed aside and they didn't realize how it affected them so negatively. We are a broken people in so many ways because of sin. But God does not discard us out of hand, so to speak. That's a pun intended. He doesn't just discard us. See, he brings us a message of hope. That if we allow that wonderful potter to put us and keep us in his hands, and we heed his message to us, and sometimes that message is very hard to hear. But if we hear it, and we receive it, and we turn from our way and turn towards Jesus Christ and to his forgiveness and his salvation and the work of his Holy Spirit within us, he will take that broken vessel and he will make it new. Jeremiah had to speak that to a nation who didn't want to hear it, and they persecuted it. We are called to speak to people that are broken, as we are, and as we have been. And sometimes we have to speak words that people don't want to hear. We have to learn how, with all the wisdom that we can receive from the Holy Spirit, to speak truth and love to people. And you know what that takes? Courage. It takes courage to speak truth and love. Not your opinions, not you just want to rip people apart. No, to speak the truth of God's word in love to people that need to hear it, who are broken and need to have the potter rebuild their lives. So in the midst of the message of judgment was also the message of hope and restoration. That gave Jeremiah the courage to continue on. And further, there was something else that I believe gave Jeremiah the courage, is because in his own life and in his own heart, this man went through so much that he wanted to quit so many times, and he had so great feelings. He wasn't a man who had no feelings at all. He was a man who had deep feelings. In fact, the Book of Lamentations, you know, he's lamenting and crying out to God. He cared deeply. And of course, he battled discouragement in his own life. In chapter 15 of the book, verse 18, I'm going to read some of these verses in reverse order, but starting at verse 18, he cries out, "Why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refuses to be healed? Will you surely be to me like an unreliable stream, as waters that fail?" In other words, God, why am I continually having to do this and say these things, and it seems to me that you're lying? It can't be like this, God. He says in the second part of that, like, God, you're like a deceitful brook of waters. In other words, you're deceitful. One translation actually says it that way. Wilt thou be a liar to me? like waters that fail God? That's what I feel like. I'm saying these words. And Lord, nobody responds. And is it really this bad? Lord, are you giving me untrue words? He began to wonder if all the trouble might be with God after all. And maybe God, maybe it's you. Maybe you're saying things that maybe aren't right. You know, he started to feel that way. Because he was despairing. He was isolated and lonely. He says to God, just before he makes that claim to God, he says in verse 17, he says, I didn't sit in the assembly of the mockers, nor did I rejoice. I sat alone because of your hand, for you have filled me with indignation. See, and when you start to hear people talk that way, people that you know that proclaim to be Christians and maybe are, you begin to say to yourself, why are they so this way? Why are they so depressed? Why are they so, full of despair? Why? And sometimes we're so quick to judge. Well, they're not trusting the Lord enough. Or maybe they're backslidden. Or we're like Job's friends. Maybe there's some hidden sin. But that wasn't the case with Jeremiah. Some people say, oh, it's because you're being disobedient. No, if you read the words, and I'm going to read them now from verse 15 down, this man was doing everything that he was supposed to do. He was praying, verse 15, O Lord, you know, remember me and visit me and take vengeance on me, O my persecutors. In your enduring patience, do not take me away. Know that for your sake I have suffered rebuke. Your words were found and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. So here is this man who really had emotions and feelings, who was at the point of despair, but he was doing all the right things. He was praying. He was feasting on the word of God. He was being obedient to bring this message, this hard message. He wasn't a backsliding man. He wasn't a disobedient man. He was doing all the things that we would give somebody the formula today to say, oh, just read the word, meditate on the word of God, pray, go out and share your testimony, do all these things. But Jeremiah's problem was that in the despair, in the feelings that he had that brought him to that discouragement, was that he has done what a lot of us tend to do as we walk with the Lord over a period of time. We forget why we were called in the first place. And we forget who called us. Same chapter, because he said in verse 15, right, Lord, remember me, visit me, but listen to the response in verse 19. Therefore, thus says the Lord, if you return, then I will bring you back. You will stand before me. If you take out the precious from the vial, you shall be as my mouth. Let them return to you, but you must not return to them. And I will make you to this people a fortified bronze wall, and they will fight against you. But they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you to save you and deliver you, says the Lord. I will deliver you from the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem you from the grip of the terrible. Jeremiah, it is hard, but my words are true. They are not unreliable. My word is to you, Lord, just Jeremiah, remember, I am the Lord and who sent you in the first place. Return to me. Return to your original calling. Don't stray from it. And I will strengthen you. I will give you the words. I will protect you. I will deliver you. See, the call to Jeremiah from the very beginning in chapter 1, in verse 4, he says, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Church, when we are feeling discouraged, when we are feeling that I am not able to answer the call that God has, that God knew, I tell him to send somebody else because I know me. I can't do this. I can't say these things. I can't talk to people. I can't witness. Whatever it happens to be, when you say they can't, you forget something, that God, your creator, knows you intimately, better than you'll ever know yourself. He formed you in the womb. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your tendencies. He knows your doubts. He knows your failures. He says, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. You don't think that God knew that at one time in your life, you would come to that place of receiving him as Lord and Savior and be born again to become his child? You don't think God knew that? You think that you were the surprise child? Oh, where did that? I didn't see that one coming. How did they come in? No, he knew Before we were in the womb, he knew. We didn't know. He knew. And yet, God, knowing that, knowing all of that about us, knowing our past, knowing our brokenness, knowing that even after we're saved, we still have these things within us where we have fears and doubts and anxieties and all these different things and all. He says, I'm sending you. Be of good courage. I'm sending you. I know you. And when he got that call to be a prophet, he says in verse 6, then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a youth. But the Lord said to him, this is back when, he's probably like a teenager then. Do not say I'm a youth, for you shall go to all whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, somewhere along the line, and when you understand it, because of all of the discouragement and things he went through, he had forgotten his calling. Have you forgotten your calling? Have you forgotten who you are and who knew you from the womb? The one who saved you with his precious blood? The one who called you? You know, Peter says in his epistle to the church, he says that we have to keep adding to our faith. Keep adding to your faith. He says if you don't add to your faith, he says then you are forgetting who you are and who sent you. You've become nearsighted. You can't see. You've forgotten what God has done for you. Have you forgotten? Is that why you say, send somebody else, don't send me? You've forgotten that he knows you, that he loves you, that he died for you, that he filled you with his Holy Spirit, that he gave you everything you need. Oh, well, I'm not like Jeremiah. He didn't put words in my mouth. Yes, he did. He gave you his word. He gave you the Holy Spirit. He allowed the Holy Spirit to come into our lives to give us everything we need for this life in godliness, to do the work he has put us here to do. He does not send us out unprepared. He sends us fully prepared. And we have to be of good courage. You have to realize that even in this message that we give to people, that's hard sometimes to give. Nobody wants to hear. Nobody wants to hear that something's not right in their life. Nobody wants to hear that not everybody just goes to heaven just because. Nobody wants to hear that you need to recognize your sin and own your sin. And you need to turn from your sin and you need to receive Jesus Christ. Oh, that's too narrow. Yeah, but it's the only way. And I have to tell you, I saw a sign this week that discouraged me a little bit. It was on a church. And the sign was meant to be an encouragement and a blessing. But instead of saying Jesus, at the point where it needed to say Jesus, it just used generically or generally God. Now, this was a Christian church. I'm not going to say which one. Many of you have probably known and passed this church. It's somewhere in this vicinity. And instead of saying Jesus, in other words, come to Jesus. Jesus is the Savior. It just says God, general. And you say, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that is that's not the message we bring. We can't get to God. God does love us, but he sent the Son. We can't get saved except through the cross. There is only one message of salvation, and that's hard for a very pluralistic world to hear. Yeah, there's many ways that lead to God, but they lead to judgment at the great white throne. There's only one way that leads to eternal life and salvation, and that is through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that is a very unpopular message. You could tell people all day long, God bless you, God loves you, and they'll say, oh, great, that's wonderful, I love to hear that. That's not going to save them. The unpopular message is, no, you're going to hell. Now, we don't always frame it in that way off the bat, but you understand, that's the message. And unless you turn to the one who died for you on the cross, Jesus Christ, and accept his forgiveness, you are going to spend eternity separated from God in hell. That's not a popular message, church, but it is the only one that we have, and it's the only one that the apostle said that he was not ashamed of, because that message is the power of God unto salvation. And many times we find ourselves blah, 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 because we get caught up and we forget what our core message is and how we are sent to give that message. Jeremiah, go back and remember your original calling. Return to me, and I'll give you the courage again that you need to finish the work. And Jeremiah did. 40 years, he ended up, I think, there's no record of his death, but he did. Many believe in Egypt, but he finished the work that he was called to do. So along the way, the prophet is called by God. Through all the mire of depression and discouragement, he is reminded to come back to God. He's reminded to do the first things as we are reminded in the book of Revelation. And along the way, he was able to go because he received so many blessed promises of hope throughout his time of ministry and throughout the prophecies that he spoke. He heard in chapter 17, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will it cease from yielding fruit." He heard the precious promise given generally to the nation of Israel, but is one that we take for ourselves even to this day. He knew that after 70 years in Jeremiah 29, that the people would get back into the land again. And he knew that in verse 11, that God said that, "I know my thoughts, the thoughts that I think of you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart." He received these words. He heard about this, and he's thinking to himself, if God's going to do that for the nation, he'll surely do it to me. And we could think ourselves today, "Lord, I know that promise was for the nation of Israel, but I, Lord, want to walk in the spirit of that promise, that I know the thoughts that you have towards me. And they're good thoughts. They're not of evil. Help me, Lord God, to call upon you and to pray and to seek you with all of my heart." See, the truth is, church, we need courage to live as Christians. We need strength. And you could try to well up all the courage from yourself, but eventually, no matter how courageous you are, your courage will fail you. What we need to do is remember the calling. Remember that God knew us before we were even in the womb. He knew us when we came to be saved and gave our life over to him. He knew us and all that we did, and he came and saved us anyway, and he washed our sin away, and he came to give us the power of the Holy Spirit that resides within us, church. It's not just, even Old Testament where maybe he'll come upon you when you have a certain work to do. No, he lives within us. Everything we need, church, to be courageous in him, to walk in his strength, to walk in his power, to face the giants, if you will, to face the naysayers, to face the haters, to face the ones who want to kill us and to shame us and do all those things to minimize us, but to keep going on, but to keep going on. Lord, listen, church, every day God thinks of us. You could say every hour, right? He's looking after us. Every minute, he cares for us. Jeremiah had another wonderful promise that we're going to close with and claim for ourselves also. Because every second, God loves us. Jeremiah 33:1. "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time." You weren't forgotten, Jeremiah. "I think of you. I know you where you are every hour, every minute, every second." While he was still shut up in the court of the prison, saying, "Thus said the Lord who made it, the Lord who formed it to establish it. The Lord is his name. Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and you did not." This is especially, I think, remarkable, considering the circumstances by which it was given to Jeremiah. enduring the terror of the siege and the soon fulfillment of the promise of judgment that was to come. The judgment was at the door, knocking at the door, but God speaks this word of hope and an invitation and faith to all of Jerusalem, to Jeremiah, and I believe it still echoes down through the millennia today to us. Call to me. Don't try to do it on your own. You've done that. Call to me. Come to me. These promises from God that are great and mighty and awesome, that we can call upon a Heavenly Father who will show us mighty things that we do not know. As I was finishing up preparation a little bit last night and this morning, years ago when we had done a VBS in Philadelphia, I think the theme was like a Wild West theme or something like that. There was one song. Now, this is like 25 years ago. This is a long time ago. There's one song, kids' song, in the VBS thing. And they, I believe, sang it at the closing of the performance when the parents came. And it's a song that simply says, call to me and I will answer. And I will show you great and mighty things you did not know. I heard that song 25 years ago, and the Holy Spirit, I have to believe, brought it back to my remembrance. And it has a very interesting, it's a very simple song. And has a very interesting melody. But that song, if you will, rose up in my heart. And I began to sing it, just like I had heard it for the first time way back then. It goes, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you did not know. Call to me. And it goes on like that, just very simple word with that wonderful melody. And the Holy Spirit brought it by, and I was, I want to find that song. I couldn't find it online. I kept looking. And then this morning, it was still in my mind and in my heart. And I was singing it just like that over and over again. And I tried one more time and I put in a couple different keywords and it popped up on an old YouTube. And I began to play it and Meg comes into the room. It's like, where'd that come from? I said, I'm not sure exactly why the Lord has that on my heart. But I know it's a reminder to me and maybe to all of us of the call that is on our life. The courage that it takes for us to do the work that he's called us to do. And that we have to remember that he has given us everything we need to finish that work. But in the midst of all these times, there's times of discouragement. There's times of, you know, all these different things that we're to call upon our Heavenly Father at all times. And when you don't know and understand, he will give you what you do not know and do not understand. You say, well, that's Old Testament. Yeah, well, James says, pray for wisdom. If you lack it, I'll give it to you if you believe. Lord, how do I do this? Lord, how do I bring truth in love? How do I say this to my neighbor? How do I do this or whatever it happens to be? Call to me and I will answer. And I will show you great and mighty things, amazing things, things that you do not know now. I will give you what you need that you do not possess at this moment. And that will give you the courage to continue on to finish the assignment well. Father, thank you for this reminder from this wonderful book of Jeremiah and this man who suffered greatly. A man who, like us, was a human being who was reluctant from his youth. But he went forward and did what he was called to do. And yes, Lord God, and we know in times of his life, he forgot. He was despaired. He forgot his calling. He didn't remember, Lord, but you reminded him. Jeremiah, remember, way back when I called you. Jeremiah, remember the first things that I commanded you to do. Do those things, Jeremiah. And even if no one ever responds, you don't have to be afraid anymore. You can speak like a lion. I will be with you. I'll protect you. I will keep you through all of their threats, through all of their persecution. I will keep you. I will give you the courage and the strength to continue on till you complete the journey. Father, help us today to have that same heart and same mind. We are sent people, and we are, like Jeremiah, reluctant to go. But we carry the only words that matter to a sick and dying world, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the only way of salvation. Lord, it's unpopular to bring that message, but it is the only message. Let us, like the apostle, not be ashamed of it. Let us, Lord God, get our strength and courage from you. And let us, Lord God, when we begin to waver, to remember, to go back to the first things, to remember how you saved us, to remember how you died for us, to remember how you filled us with your Holy Spirit, to remember the commission that you gave us to go into all the world, and let us just begin again. And Lord, the courage that we need, that we lack, will come from on high. And you'll give us the boldness to speak your words in love. And we're going to thank you that, Lord, we might never see another great revival before you return, but we're going to thank you for the one, for the two, for the three, for the gleanings that come in day by day by day by day as we are faithful to this call. And we thank you until we see you face to face in Jesus' name. Amen.